Hey there, my name is Seth Juarez with Channel 9. I'm here with Pranav Rastogi. Is that how you say your last name, dude?
That's correct, Seth.
Cool. What do you do?
I work for you.
For me? Right. I wish. I mean, I have some work that I need done in my house.
See?
I
can
come by and just... what do you do for Microsoft, dude?
So I work on the sort of ASP.NET and Azure side of the
house. So web-type stuff.
Web-type stuff, a lot of ASP.NET. More recently, I started working on cache.
Interesting.
So we have this caching service in Azure.
Okay.
So if you have a building a web application and you know want to increase the performance and decrease the latency, then we have this cache service that you can plug into your web app.
So got it.
And manage the service.
Most people don't like use cache. Maybe I it's not something that I've like jumped in on. Why would you use it? What's it for? And how do you even start to think about it?
Yeah, so a good way of thinking about when should you use cache is traditionally you have apps. It could be a web app, for the most simplistic case, which talks to some backend, because most generally you're storing database in a SQL server or storage. Each time somebody makes a request, you go and fetch the data. Now, fetching the data from a backend persistent store is an expensive operation. So if you want to improve the performance, and you think that this is the data which is commonly used by a lot of your users, then you can cache it in memory closer to your website. So that's just caching.
I see.
Instead of going to the backend store, I just get it from my in-memory cache, and I serve it to the user. So you decrease the network time that you spend in retrieving the data. You decrease the time on the server for making the SQL query, running through a set of operations, and showing the result to the user.
So at the lowest level, like a cache could be like a dictionary where you're storing results.
Exactly.
Okay.
And it could be a dictionary that you could store in front of your website. So an in-memory implementation, that's like a poor man's caching.
Right.
The drawback of such an implementation is it would not scale. For example, if you were to scale out your website to different instances of VMs, you have different servers. Then you have a caching layer at each of those servers, but then how do you coordinate between all those caching implementations?
See, I mean, this stuff, like, the hardest problems in computer science, obviously, naming things off by one errors and cache. Right? Isn't that?
Yes, that is true.
That's one of the three. Because, I mean, when you think of it at the lowest level in a dictionary, it makes sense, but then when you start to go to the next computer, it's like, well, what if they get routed to this computer and their dictionary is over here?
It's like, writing a... How to learn to ride a bicycle. You start off with those training wheels come off, and it's like, oh, how do I balance?
So what things are built into ASP.NET now that do caching for you?
So historically, ASP.NET has sort of had two interesting paths which have had caching inbuilt. So there is a feature called output caching on a page.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say if you have a page and you want to cache certain data or parts of the page, for a certain amount of time, then you can use a feature called output caching, which is like a module that runs in ASP.NET. There's also another feature called session state, which is also used to store temporary data about your application. So you can think of very traditional use cases of session state as storing, your shopping cart information or some user activity which is tied to a session.
Got it.
And you can store session state in different ways. You can store it in memory, which is sort of the bare-bone implementation. But that's sort of not resilient to any transient errors or network failures. If your IIS sort of recycles your app, then you lose that session data because it's temporary and it's in memory.
Right.
So in that case, you can resort to a persistent store, which is like SQL Server. So,
but aren't you getting back to the same problem of...
Kind of, yeah.
The whole point of the cache was to not go to SQL Server, and
exactly.
Now we have to put it there.
Yes.
Okay.
And so that's a trade-off that you have to make as to what information should you put in a cache or what information should you put in a persistent store. If you have mission-critical data that you want to be able to access all the time, irrespective of where it's stored, then we recommend that you store in some sort of persistent store. It could be SQL, Azure Storage, DocumentDB, RavenDB, you can choose. And data that you think customers are going to see more frequently, so for example, if you have on the Twitter page, you see a list of tweets.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to say my last 10 tweets, so you can cache that data because that's not that critical.
Right.
But my tweets as of the second, you might want to each time be getting it from a SQL server or a backend store.
Okay. So you talk about output cache, and then you talk about session state. Is there any other caching mechanisms built in?
That's pretty much what's built into the framework. Other than that, you can do your application level caching itself. So you can use any of the caching engines that are out there. Mm-hmm. So we've had sort of various caching engines that we could have done. So there's Memcache, there's now Redis, which is an in-memory sort of distributed cache engine. And so you can use this to sort of cache your application-specific data and then fall back to a persistent store if not found in the cache.
Got it. So let's start with output cache. Where is that data stored? Is it just like magic, like?
That data is just stored in memory.
And it's stored in memory in that particular
server? On the
server, yeah. Okay. And so say a user is routed here in memory and they get this page, it's really fast because it's been output cached. If they go to a different machine, it might not be there.
Right.
And that's because it's a different machine,
Because it's a different machine.
But then it would cache it, and the next time someone comes.
Exactly.
Okay.
And that's how it works. Now, if you were to use, for example, now we have providers, Redis providers for ASP.NET output cache and session state provider. So what that would mean is, like, it's a different service, so it's not running on your web server itself. There's a different VM machine that's hosting the Redis engine. So the cache is going to be at the server itself. It is going to differ. So you have a web server, you have a caching server, and that's the caching server is where all the information will get cached. Mm-hmm. So these are providers, the Redis output cache and Redis session state provider, which stores the cache data in a different server altogether.
Got it.
It still sits closer to your website, but it's not your web server that's sort of storing the information.
I see. And so you could point output cache to store into these cache providers.
Exactly.
The problem then is it, because it's on a different machine, there's still IO operations that have to happen, but it's going to be a little bit faster.
It's going to be faster than going back to a persistent store.
Okay.
And generally, as a best practice, you know, since caching allows you to fetch data quickly, we recommend a cache layer and a sort of a web server layer to sit closer to each other from a network topology perspective.
I see, because these things are wired and they're super close together.
Exactly.
Okay, so let's talk about session state. I know this is kind of sometimes people use session state as like their database while someone's on.
Yeah, we've seen session go quite big. Like,
so what's the good parts of session state? We'll talk about what's good about session state, how you should use it, and then maybe let's talk a little bit about don't do this with session state.
Right. So I think a few good candidates for session is if you're going to store some sort of user activity and you're not generating a lot of data for that user activity, so for example, you can store like the last login time in a session. Okay, that's good enough. But if you want to keep track of the user bought like A, B, and Z, and they needed all these operations, and for this particular user, the session size goes to about, you know, like 1 gig, then session is not probably the right place where you want to store all of that information. Maybe you want to store this information in like a temporary table in SQL and just have an ID stored in the session so you can correlate the two data.
I see.
So think about spreading that up.
And then you could cache the stuff that's in the table.
And then you can cache the stuff that's in the table as well.
Got it. Okay. So what are some crazy examples of session state that you've seen in order for our viewers to know, I shouldn't do that?
I think the craziest one, as I just mentioned, I've seen session tables like grow big in size to the order of magnitude of like, you know, tens of gigs or hundreds of gigs of data. And that's like,
well, the machine has to start thrashing, right? Because it's running out of RAM at that point.
Yeah, but in that case, now they're pushing all the data to a SQL server. So what happens on your web front end then is like there's a session module that's running that's going to take all the data from the SQL server and push it on the page. So each time you make a request to the site, now it has to parse all of this data and then display it on the front end.
I see. And so, okay, so with ASP.NET then, if we want to make things a little bit faster, you got to use cache.
You got to use cache, and we recommend use the Redis provider for session state as well, provided that you're not storing too much of data in session itself.
What's a good measure for too much? I mean, how would you quantify that?
It's hard.
Yeah.
Because, you know, for each app, it sort of varies on how much is too much. But I think I would sort of pivot it the other way and think about like what kind of app are you building, and in proportion to that, how much of data are you storing in cache or session?
Got it. So, what's a good smell to start feeling a little bit uncomfortable? Like you're storing records that should that you not do that? Are you storing like logs? Should you not do that? I mean, obviously logs are a bad idea.
Logs are a bad idea. I think what I would suggest is anything which relates to a customer's or your user's information is probably a good candidate for being in a cache. Huh. Anything which is your applications like operational logs or activity is probably not a good candidate for cache or session, and then they should be pushed to like a backend store itself.
Got it. That's great. Well, this is a good place to stop, I think. Well, thanks for watching, and there'll be other videos where we'll start to look at how to use Redis in depth. So we will catch you next time.